The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Guess what? Yes, yes. Did you guess? My guest today is Mr. Pat Boone. Pat Boone, my friend, welcome to this program.
That's me.
It's radio, so feel free to talk. Hey, listen, Pat, I got to tell my audience just to set them up for what we're going to discuss. I had the privilege. We were in Dallas together at the NRB a couple of weeks ago. My daughter and I had the joy of spending some time with you at that dinner. There was a special dinner. And then Albin and I, my producer, were in the room the next day, I think it was, or 2 days later, when you got a very special award. And that got me thinking about you and your career. And I said, I want to have you on this program to talk about your career, talk about anything you want. But that evening was so special, Pat. I was sitting there watching. They had put together a beautiful, you know, video package introducing you and your career before they brought you up on the stage. And to be reminded of all the things that God has used you to do over the years, it was overwhelming. I said, I want my audience, especially younger folks who don't know you, to know about this stuff. And then when you gave your speech, I thought, this is getting more ridiculous, because it was one of the most moving, beautiful speeches, Pat. It was amazing what you said. So we're going to put that on my YouTube channel, my personal YouTube channel, so people can watch it. But let's just start there, Pat. How do you, I mean, that was an amazing evening. What was your response, or what were you feeling that evening to get this Lifetime Legend Award?
Well, it's a mixture of feelings, Eric. Of course, happy that I was being given an award and singled out amongst a lot of other people who I feel sure are more worthy, but very emotional too. Because as you heard me say, and I won't say it all, as my life was getting underway in my late teens, I was asking God, this was personal just between me and him, to use my life in some way that would please him, that would serve his purpose.
Now, this is when you were up in the attic, you were 16 years old or something like that?
Yeah, about 16. I had claimed this raw, unfinished attic full of kind of junk that's in everybody's attics and as my penthouse, because my brother and I, he was a year younger than me, we'd been sharing this double bed in our modest home in Nashville for years. And of course, we loved each other. We were brothers. But, you know, each of us would like to have had the bed and the privacy to himself.
When you hit 16... You know, you're a man. You want your own room. So you head up to the attic. I understand.
So I asked Mom and Dad if I could have the attic. And they said, well, it's just an attic. And I said, yeah, but there's room and I can put a cot up there and it'll be my place. And Nick can have the double bed here downstairs in the bedroom. So that's what we did. And I will say that being up there alone a lot of the time, I could study up there. I had light. It was raw. It was nobody, you know, people would have felt sorry for me, I guess. But I enjoyed it because it was mine and I had the privacy. So I used some of that time as a young Christian to talk to God and just say, I don't know where this road. I look out the window up this curving road out the window of the attic, and it went up the hill and around the bend. And it was like a simile or a parable to me about my life. My life is going around a bend. I don't know where I'm going, but God, please use me in some way that will serve you and will bless other people. It was a simple prayer, and I didn't know what I was asking, but I meant it, and I repeated it, and then I'd come down and have breakfast and go to school. And I just never forgot that I had pledged myself. Now, what I didn't know, and I didn't tell you, and I didn't mention that night, because I'm the oldest of four kids, and I've been blessed in many ways beyond my brother and two sisters. I love them, and they love me, and we're very close. But I was singled out, and I asked my mama, since I was the firstborn, did you ever do, when I read about little Samuel and his mom, she couldn't even have a child, and God miraculously gave her the child, and then she raised him to heaven and gave him to God. I said, did you ever do anything like that with me? And she teared up. She'd never told me. She said, yes, son. When you were just an infant, I raised you before the Lord and said, he's yours, Lord. Use him for your purposes. Now, she never told me that until I asked her in my 50s. And I never knew that she had taken her firstborn son and, like Hannah and Samuel, just raised me up and said, take him, Lord. He's yours. So and with all of my failings and faults and mistakes all through these years, and I made plenty, and a lot of people who know me know about them, God has blessed and used and directed my life. And I've had that sense that he had a purpose for me.
Well, it's just overwhelming. And again, you know, for people, especially younger people tuning in who don't know, when I mentioned to my cousin in Greece, who I guess he's just 70 this year, that I had become friendly with you, he couldn't believe it. He thought, Pat Boone? What? You know, he's in Greece. But, I mean, the whole world of certain generations knows you, knows that you were a recording star, I mean, hitting every bell that could be rung, top number one hits, everything, movies, everything. And of course, younger people today, they would have no idea about that. So I said, I want to go over your career, because you talked about this, about, say, giving your life to God, having no idea, let's be honest, what lies ahead. And what lay ahead for you, you met the Queen of England twice.
Oh, yeah.
You met everybody we can possibly think of. Elvis, you were friendly with all these people. Every Bob Hope, whoever it is. It is a staggering career that you've had, and I just want to go backwards and let me just ask you. You said, you know, the Queen of England. So you met the Queen of England twice,
and it's an embarrassment. It was because I met her twice. The second time was when I was deeply, deeply embarrassed. The first time I was in college at Columbia University. I transferred from North Texas State to Columbia because I was having hit records and my career was taking off in an astonishing way. So
in college, you're having hit records and your career's taking off. So what are you, 19, 20?
20, 21, 22, 21, as I launched the first ever musical variety show for a guy my age at 21 on ABC television. And I'm still in college. I'm taking classes every weekday and Saturdays, too, at Columbia University, and siring four kids.
We had siring four kids. That's is that the most delicate way you could put it, Pat Boone? Siring four kids, these lovely women that are now, some of them, grandmothers. Okay, so it is hard for anybody to believe that at that age, all of this stuff is happening.
And in the middle of it, I am given the invitation to come perform for the Queen. It was a Royal Command performance. I'm still in college. I'm studying. I'm going to be an English teacher, I think, even though my career is taking off like crazy. I didn't expect it to last. So I was going to get my career, my diploma, and get ready to be a high school English teacher. And meanwhile, Shirley and I kept popping out these babies, one every year until, well, I'm trying to say too much at once. Anyway, I go to the command performance.
But wait,
in London.
What year is this? This 53, 54?
It's 57.
Oh, 57. Okay, so yeah. The Queen, of course, is very young herself. She's not much older than you. She's about 10 years older than you, I think. And so she's a very young woman. It's 1957. And you, at age 21, whatever it is, are invited to a royal command performance. So frame this for my audience. The world of 1957, you know what they're telling me? I'm out of time. We'll be right back, folks. I'm talking to Pat Boone. Why would you go away? You're the one. Hey, folks, are you concerned about memory loss for you or a loved one? Vivalore's founder prayed that God would show her the solution to memory loss because her mother had dementia. After many divine encounters combining faith and her background as a pharmacist, Susan Gibson created Vivalore Memory Support. Vivalore is a premium quality all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. It won awards and has 3 books independently written about it. Visit Vivalore.com for testimonials about the life-changing improvements people have experienced. Vivalore is for those with normal memory, mild or severe memory loss. Don't wait until your memory slips. The pathology starts 20 years before your first memory loss symptom. That's Vivalore, Vivalore.com. Check it out. Remember, Vivalore is a premium quality, all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. Vivalore is V-I-V-O-L-O-R at Vivalore.com. Enter promo code 20 for 20% off. Vivalore.com, V-I-V-O-L-O-R.com. Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like 4? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
When I lost my baby, I almost lost my
baby. Hey there, folks. I'm talking to Pat Boone. Did you get that part? Pat Boone, and we're talking about his meeting, two of them, with the Queen of England. Some of you who've watched The Crown have the background on what an extraordinary life the Queen of England has had, how very young she was when she was thrust into the international eye. So, Pat, this is 57. Interesting time in America. This is way before the Beatles and the 60s. This is a very different time. So you are at the top of the charts. You're a big deal. You're bringing what we call black music to white audiences. And so I want to talk about that later, your role in opening the door for rock and roll on the planet. But so tell us, you're invited to the Palladium. Were you nervous? Were you excited? I mean, to be invited at that age to do a royal command performance with the Queen of England, I think that would be a little heady thing for a kid from Tennessee.
Yes, definitely. I was very nervous, and I didn't know all the protocol at all, and all I had to sing for her were my current hits, which were 3 or 4 rock and roll songs, rhythm and blues songs, and I'm going to be singing these rock and roll songs. They weren't Cole Porter. They weren't
What were they? Do you remember what they were?
One heart's not enough, baby. Two hearts will make you feel crazy. One kiss will make you feel so nice. Two kisses take you to paradise. Two hearts, two kisses make one love. How do you like that, Queenie?
Let me tell you, that's you do the best Pat Boone impression I think I've probably ever heard, Albin. Am I right? That was as if had Pat himself singing it. Okay, so that was that was one.
Next was Ain't That a Shame.
Oh, that's famous.
And that was the number one smash. And then Crazy Little Mama come knock, knock, knocking, knocking at my front door. Now, I'm singing these songs. I'm going to sing them for the Queen of England.
Now, ain't that a shame? That was originally Fats Domino?
Domino, yeah, huge number one R&B hit. And it sold 150,000 as a number one R&B chart hit. But that was considered race music. Not
right, he was a Fats Domino, for folks who don't know, was a tremendously famous a black man musician. You took that kind of music and brought it to white audiences. So you're in front of the whitest woman in the world, the Queen of England.
Right, and Princess Margaret and the whole entourage. So I was told, because I was very nervous, and there were Rex Harrison and a lot of other people on the same show with me. I mean, major English stars and other people of, you know, various sorts that could entertain the whole royal family. So now they say, look, when you look, glance toward the queen in the royal box, and if you see her doing this, applauding you, then you'll see the audience will also be applauding. If you see her just with her hands like this, then she may not be enjoying you, but, you know, don't let it bother you. So I did take a few glances up toward the royal box, and when I finished one of my rock and roll songs, I saw her doing this and Princess Margaret doing this, and the whole audience
applauding, right?
So it was going. It went well, but before that happened, I had to go rent a full tuxedo, which I did not have, and so I went to one of the rental places on High Street or one of the streets in London, and got the whole regalia, white tie and tails, black tux, white tie. And I thought there should be a white handkerchief. Nobody told me, no, you don't wear a white handkerchief in the tails outfit. So I looked for something white, and I didn't have any socks. I didn't even have white jockey shorts. All I could find was some toilet tissue, that thick English toilet tissue. I took two or three folds and I put it up here and made a square, pocket square up here. And then I thought, hey, the fashion right now is to have your initials embroidered on your pocket handkerchief. Well, I had no time to do that. They were going to pick me up in 20 minutes to take me to the theater. So I got a ballpoint pen of some sort and put PB, put initials
on. I don't think
on.
Ballpoint pens were out in 1957. Maybe I'm wrong.
Instrument, I put PB, so it looked like I had an embroidered handkerchief. And of course, the handkerchief itself was inappropriate, but I didn't know that. So now I go and I sing for the Queen, and it goes very well, get a lot of applause. And I meet her, and I knew what the protocol was to simply bow as she stands in front of me. Don't extend my hand to her.
64 years later, I'm cringing for you in this moment. Please continue.
Well, she runs a gauntlet, and when the concert's over, she comes into another room where all the performers are in line, and she starts at one end and works her way through and is very nice to them, thanks them, and also Princess Margaret and Prince Philip. All of this is coming along the line, and I'm very nervous, but all I have to do is bow when she stands in front of me and say, Your Majesty. If she extends her hand, I take it. And she said, she gave me a nice compliment. I enjoyed your performance. Princess Margaret was even more appreciative. Prince Philip, the whole shot. So it went well. I felt good. Now I'm leaving the theater afterwards, and all the entertainers are going out the stage exit, and all the people in the audience know where that is, and that the bobbies, the English bobbies, are going to have to be holding them back so we can get to police vans that will take us to where our various cars are to go to our hotels or wherever. So I'm going, and the bobbies are on either side of me, and I'm pressing my way through the crowd after the performance. And an arm from one of the fans reaches over the policeman, the bobby's arms, and grabs my handkerchief and runs screaming up the alley. I got it, I got it. Now, I've all laughed for years wondering what she thought when she opened what she had taken out of my pocket, and it was toilet tissue with my initials on it, and thought I was either the cheapest guy in the world or I had embroidered toilet tissue.
Now, some fan was able to get their hand in your pocket? What's with these bobbies? They're not doing their job, Pat.
crowds were, you know, pressing in from every side, and they were forming a line, a cordon line. And but she reached over the arm and grabbed the handkerchief and took off. And so I, you know, it may be framed somewhere in England.
I want that woman to come clean. We want her to return that. Listen, God will forgive you, and there's grace, but you need to repent. We want you to, we want you to bring that to us. Pat, listen, you got to tell my audience, again, a lot of folks won't know, the biggest stars in America, you know, that had thousands of young women screaming, we, you know, kind of starts, I guess you can go back to Rudy Valentino and Rudy Valli, but really it starts with Sinatra and the Bobby Soxers. And then it moves on to Elvis, and then it goes to the Beatles. But before it gets to the Beatles, it goes to you. Yeah. You were one of these heartthrobs that young women are losing their minds and screaming, and you're describing that. Here you are in London. You're not in America.
This was pre-Elvis. This was before Elvis, before they knew who Elvis was. Or they might have maybe had one record or two records, but I was matching him hit for hit during the 50s. So in 57, in fact, 57, I think he was now, his career was beginning, but I was the teen idol at that moment, and he was coming up after me.
I didn't know that. So you're kind of, you're before Elvis? Oh my gosh. This is, what's that?
He was my opening act the first time we met.
Say that again in case people fell out of their chairs. Please repeat that.
I didn't call him my opening act, but he did go on before me in Cleveland. In this was October 55, come to think of it, where I had three hit records and a 55 in Cleveland at the Brooklyn High School. Bill Randall, the nation's number one DJ, had me come in from New York. I had moved to New York quickly with my wife because I was beginning my TV show and records were happening. I needed to be operating from there instead of Denton, Texas. But I did enroll at Columbia University.
Wait a minute. You were at Columbia in Manhattan, Columbia, the Ivy League school up the block from where I'm sitting? I didn't get that.
Well, yeah,
so we're both Ivy Leaguers, Pat, and we're both English majors. Please continue.
So now, in October, though, of 55, I had three hit records, and I went in to headline a sock hop for the nation's top DJ, some 3,000 kids in the Brooklyn High School. I don't know why it was called Brooklyn, but it was and is. And so I was going to headline, and that means I was going to lip sync my three hit records of the moment for 3,000 kids, while Bill Randall, the DJ, was spinning the records. And he brought up from Shreveport, Louisiana, a kid named Elvis Presley.
Some punk kid. Nobody heard of him, but they're giving him his big break in front of Pat Boone.
Yeah.
Did anything ever become of Elvis Presley? When we come back, we're going to find out whatever happened to Elvis Aaron Presley. We'll be right back, Pat. Forgive me. This is show business. We'll be right back. To hold you tight. Eric Metaxas here. We've been stuck inside for what, a year and a half? I think it's time to go outside now and turn your yard into a paradise with fastgrowingtrees.com. Skip the big box stores and head to fastgrowingtrees.com, the world's largest online nursery. No more waiting in lines, messy cars, digging through a lackluster selection. Just go to fastgrowingtrees.com and choose from thousands of varieties of trees, shrubs, plants expertly curated to thrive in your area and delivered to your door in 1 or 2 days. Whether you're looking for shade, privacy, fruit trees, or just added color for your yard, every plant is shipped with a well-developed root system ready to explode with new growth. Join over 1 million satisfied gardeners at fastgrowingtrees.com. Plus, the 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee means your plants will arrive happy, healthy, and ready for planting. Now through July 31st, go to fastgrowingtrees.com for 15% off. That's 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com/Eric. 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 Hey, Hey, folks, I'm talking to Pat Boone, and he's talking to me. Pat, you're sharing stuff that is just ridiculous, so let's just go back. Brooklyn High School, this is the 50s. You are the big star. You've got three major hits on the charts. You perform at Brooklyn High, 3,000 kids, and your opening act is a nobody named Elvis Aaron Presley.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that guy?
Well, he's around. No, in memory, he's not around personally. But anyway, Bill Randall knew that Sun Records, on which Elvis had made one record, had been sold to RCA Victor, or they had sold the contract of Elvis Presley to RCA Victor, and he hadn't even made a record yet for RCA. His first record was Heartbreak Hotel, but he hadn't recorded it yet. What he had recorded was two songs on both sides of a record on Sun Records out of Memphis, a little label down there south, and was recording, but performing on the Louisiana Hayride, a radio show like the Grand Ole Opry, but out of Shreveport, Louisiana, called Louisiana Hayride. And so Bill Randall asked him and got Elvis, whoever was managing, to come to Cleveland so he could be introduced to the teen audience at this sock hop where I was the headliner and going to perform. And when he picked me up at the airport, Bill Randall, he said, there's a fella going to come up from Shreveport to open the program for you tonight, and he told me who he was. I said, what's his name? He said, Elvis Presley. You haven't heard of him? And I said, no, I have. I heard a record of his on a jukebox in Dallas, but I said, Bill, he's a hillbilly. I mean, this was a Bill Munro song, Blue Moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. It's not rock and roll. I said, is he going to go over well tonight? He said, well, we'll find out. Because he knew that he'd been signed, and RCA Victor was excited about this newcomer. So I was backstage at high school when Elvis and his entourage of about three guys came in, Lamar Fike, I think, Charlie Hodge, maybe one of his musicians, two of his musicians. And so Elvis walked in, and his collar turned up, and his hair long and kind of greased and over too long, but slick back, and his pants long over some scuffed up white buck shoes. And I said, hi, Elvis, I'm Pat Boone. He said, nice to meet you. And he extended his hand, but he didn't shake hands. He just let me shake his hand. Nope. His mama and daddy hadn't instructed him in how a man shakes hands. He just let you shake his. And that was okay. And I said, Elvis, Bill seems to think there may be some big things ahead for you. You signed for RCA Victor. I don't know about that, but I hope so. And he just leaned back against the wall, and his buddies closed in, and I could tell he was shy, maybe very nervous, and I understood why. So I didn't keep talking. Well, Bill introduced him and said, you don't know who this fellow is, but he signed to RCA Victor. Kids, let's give a warm welcome to young Elvis Presley. And he came out, and he lip-synced and guitar-synced his record, because it was at a sock hop, you just played the records and the artist would lip sync. In his case, he came out and he was strumming the guitar and singing that Blue Moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. Well, the kids liked him. I could tell looking through the curtain that he was a good looking guy, and they were buzzing back and forth and saying, he's cute, isn't he? But then he finished. He said, thank you very much. I'd like to do the other side of that record for you. Hope you like it. And he sang, that's all right, mama. That's all right with me. It was rhythm and blues. And they loved that. And I loved it. And I wanted to hear more, but that's all he had. He had one record, both sides. And when he finished, big applause and left. And then I was introduced, and I got all the screams that night because I had three current hit single since March of that year. And when I came off, finished my part of it, he had gone. And I didn't see him for about a year and a half and then we were both renting homes in Bel Air. And I went to have dinner with him one night at his place. And I said, Elvis, that first night we met in Cleveland, I was a little worried for you. You seemed kind of scared or nervous, shy. He said, I didn't know how to talk to you, man. Didn't know how to talk to me. What do you mean? He said, well, you were a star. I said, a star? I'd only been recording since March. Yeah, but you had Chart Records, and I didn't know how to talk to you. Socially, he was still in high school. I mean, he had not progressed socially. He was on stage. He was at home. He loved being, and all of his nervousness came out in his performances, which was appealing. But socially, he was uncomfortable. And so he didn't want to talk to me anymore because he didn't know what to say to me. Because in his eyes at that moment, I was a big star, though I only had an 11-month, thank God, head start on him. But we became very good friends after that and visited a lot. Eventually played touch football on Sundays sometimes with his buddies and mine. And we compared each other's careers off and on, because we were both at 20th Century Fox after that with movie contracts. And his dressing room was separated from mine at 20th by one guy, actor you may have heard of named Cary Grant.
Cary Grant? So let me get this straight. There's you, there's Cary Grant, and Elvis Presley.
Three dressing rooms.
Did you get to hang out with Cary Grant? We've only got seconds left. We're going to actually hold that thought because this is all too much, folks. This is too much. I'm talking to Pat Boone or somebody who's doing a pretty astonishing impression of Pat Boone. We're going to have to look into this later. But I'd like to continue the conversation with whoever it is. Don't go away.
Better get ready because I'm giving you the warning. Everybody's going to have a wonderful time up there.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
On a day like today, we pass the time away.
Folks, I'm talking to Pat Boone. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Pat Boone. Pat, please tell the audience it's really you.
Oh, yeah. Tis I.
Okay, so there's an English major. It is I. It's not me. It is I.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the question. You were just sharing so much stuff. It's overwhelming. But you're hanging out. You become friends with Elvis. There's not many of us that can say that. Can you say that, Albin? I can't say it either. Not if I'm being honest. You're friends with Elvis. You're hanging out with him at 20th Century Fox. And in between your dressing rooms is the dressing room of Cary Grant. Did you get time with Cary Grant?
Not a lot, no, because, of course, except for lunchtime in the commissary, and I was usually the first to get into the commissary because I was closest to it. And then Elvis would come in many days. He didn't always eat. You could always order food to your dressing room if you wanted, and Cary did. And he would order a sandwich or something, soup. I don't think he ate much. He kept his physique perfectly lean. But he sat out there with one of these reflectors. He was he spent the time at lunchtime with a reflector, making sure his face was golden brown, and just frying his face. And I did that to mine, and I'm paying for it. But apparently, his skin could take it. So we didn't have a lot of conversation. And actually, the only conversation I had with Elvis during those filming days was when I would visit him on his set or he on mine. I've got pictures of which I can show you of me visiting him on his set. He's sitting. He didn't bother to get up. We didn't get up for each other. But Juliet Prowse and others are visiting, and there happens to be a lull in his shooting and in mine, or I wouldn't have been there. But there are those pictures of us visiting in each other's on each other's movie sets. He was making his fairly lightweight musical films, and I was also, mine were musical films, but they had a little more substance to them.
Now, saying that your films had more substance than Elvis's films is not saying much, just to be clear. Anybody who's watched the Elvis films, not big on substance. But you starred, you were in a film with Shirley Jones. Who else were you working with and when you were working in film?
Shirley Jones was in my second film. I mean, my first two films were in 1957, back-to-back. Bernadine, in which, my co-stars were Gary Crosby, Tommy Sands, and others. We were kids. Created a club. It was from a Broadway musical called Bernadine. And we created a teenage club. We boys hung out together. And we had a fantasy woman named Bernadine who didn't exist, but there was a picture of Terry Moore. And Terry Moore was supposedly Bernadine, though she never played the part, but it was a picture of her. And so it was a fantasy, but it had music, and it was lightweight, of course. But then April Love was a more substantive film about a delinquent kid from Chicago, that was me, going to a farm in Indiana and being taken over to try to get my life straightened out by Arthur O'Connell and his wife on a farm. And I meet this farm girl named Shirley, played by Shirley Jones. And the romance ensued, and the song written by a couple of Academy Award writers, Sammy Fain, Paul Francis Webster, April Love. April Love is for the very young. That song became a number one smash. And those films were back to back. And I go back from making those two films back to my college classes at Columbia. And my wife and daughters that were coming one a year for 4 years. When I graduated in 1958, magna cum laude from Columbia, cover of TV Guide, my cap and gown, because I'm a movie actor and records and television guy. I'm on the cover of TV Guide. You open it up, and there's a picture of Shirley and our four little daughters. And I'm 23. At 23, my own television show, making hit records, hit movies, have siring four daughters.
Don't forget the siring, folks.
Right, that was important. and we're, Shirley and I are both 23. This all happened in such a blinding, blurry flash.
You're exactly the same age as my mom, who I'm going to force to watch this program. And she and my dad were in New York during this time. It's just fascinating to me to look back to think who was where and where were they in their lives.
Classes at Columbia University, books under arm. The picture on my second album was a picture of me sitting on the Columbia campus in my white buck shoes and my books to go to class. I wanted to go out for football. I'd never played football except in high school. We didn't have a team, but we put together, we got some pads and played a high school team or two and got beat up. But I thought I could play football for Columbia University. I could have gone out, but a couple of pros heard that I was going to do that and said, forget it. Those guys at Columbia, there's no scholarships. There's only one reason for them to play football at Columbia, and that's for glory. And you already got glory. And if you come out there, Mr. Hotshot, with hit records and so on, your own team is going to tackle you. Forget football. Stay off the field. So I did. I took their advice. And it's just as well, because I may not have been any good anyway. But I was athletic.
This is amazing. So you're making these films. Shirley Jones, who was years away from her, the role of her lifetime, Mrs. Partridge in the Partridge Family. Just so crazy that you work with all these people.
Remember Elmer Gantry for when she got
kidding. That was a joke, Pat. You know that I like to joke around. She did some things even more significant than play Shirley Partridge. Oklahoma, Elmer Gantry. I mean, she's a big star. But, you know, for kids like me, I was watching The Partridge Family. I was not familiar with Elmer Gantry and Burt Lancaster when I was a kid. So
right.
We're going to... we're gonna hold you over because we kind of like you around here. And folks, I'm talking to Pat Boone. Pat, I want to talk to you about the Tonight Show, Don Rickles, Johnny Carson. You knew all of these people, and when we were together in Dallas recently, he told us a couple stories about Don Rickles. Unbelievable. He's my hero, in case anybody's scoring at home. We'll be right back, folks. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Don't forget to go to ericmetaxas.com. Sign up for our newsletter. Please don't make me beg. It's important. Thank you.
Tonight, bring me your glory.
Hey there, folks. We've been talking to Pat Boone.
Oh,
we have to interrupt the conversation with Pat Boone before we go back to Pat Boone to tell you about the guest that we're going to have at the end of Hour 2 today, Tim Eaton. This is a big announcement, and we're saying it as often as possible because it's for 1 week only, so this is it, okay? But we keep talking about Nutramedics, how they sell everything, vitamin C, vitamin D, all this stuff. And we'll talk about it with Tim Eaton in hour two after Pat Boone. But I just want to tell you, he came to us out of the blue and said, we heard what happened to you with YouTube. We know that's a big financial hit for you guys. How can we help? That means a lot to me. I hope it means a lot to you that there are people like this out there. So he then offered, he said, what if we do for anybody who uses the code Eric, instead of our normal 20% off, what if we do 30% off for a week, just for anybody that's hanging back and they want an introductory thing? So this is the week. So it's through the weekend, but you got to jump. So we want you to be aware of this because when it's over, it's over. And it goes back to 20%, which is still a wonderful discount for using the code Eric, Nutramedics.com. But I just want to say, it means a lot to me. I've spoken recently about how we need to stand together. And when somebody gets canceled, we need to stand with them. It doesn't even matter if you agree with them on everything. Just the idea that they're subject to this cultural Marxism, that we're going to cancel you if you do anything we don't like. Folks, we need to stand with those people. That's why I say we need to stand with Mike Lindell. Use the code Eric. Buy pillows for your neighbors. Buy whatever they have there. Go to mystore.com. Use the code Eric. You can buy almost all of my books are at mystore.com. Use the code Eric. You get a huge discount. We need to stand with those who are being canceled. So when Nutramedics comes to us and says we want to do this, I just want to say thank you to Nutramedics. And I want to thank all of you who are standing with us. So go to Nutramedics.com. Use the code Eric, 30% off. I also want to say,
by the way,
that was Mike, prophetic.
Yeah,
that
Mike Lindell. Prophetic. Just he said you're pushing Nutramedics too much.
So I said, I knew that would happen eventually because it's very okay. But here's the point. There is a gigantic company that is affiliated with every Christian independent bookstore in America, just about. The name of the company is Parable. They send out catalogs and they pretty much tell these independent Christian bookstores, what are the books you should carry? Here they are. I don't know if they sell them. They're a distributor. So they're Christian. It recently came to my attention, and this is shocking. Talk about canceling. That this Christian organization, Parable Books, made the decision, and I assume this is a done deal, unless they change, in which case I will be very public about it. But they have said they will not carry my book, Is Atheism Dead? Because I'm too controversial and too political. So they canceled my book. This is a book that is utterly evangelistic. It's about apologetics. It's about proving through science and biblical archaeology and philosophy and biography and history that atheism is untenable. So that's what the book is about. I'm unbelievably excited about the book. And Parable, I guess, has made this decision to cancel me and the book. Ladies and gentlemen, it is happening in the
church.
Yeah.
It is happening in the church, as it happened in Bonhoeffer's day when the churches said, you know what? We're not going to talk to you because it might cost us. We're just going to go with the flow. We're going to see who turns out to be the winner here. We don't want to stand with you because you're too toxic or something.
Can I
ask you to stand with me? Please pre-order Is Atheism Dead? I'm asking you as a favor, standing with me, because this is a gigantic thing that Parable has decided to do. I have no words. I'll talk about it more in the future. Please go to you can go to Amazon, you can go to Barnes, go to my website, ericmetaxas.com, and click on books. Please pre-order it. We need your help. I'll talk more about it next week. Thank you.